Right. Well, as I said, we're beginning a brand new series this morning, Live Life Loud, and it's actually a study of the book of Philippians, some great outstanding verses throughout this book, this epistle of Paul's. And we're going to be looking at some of those great statements from the book of Philippians as we kind of move through it. And it was written to a church in Philippi that was really much like Ocala Christian Church, to people who were much like you. We're going to begin a six-week study, and we're going to learn some of these things. I'm just going to kind of give you a heads up, kind of a glimpse into the future. We're going to talk about change in relationships. We're going to study about making good decisions and how leaning on God's Word leads us to those kinds of decisions. We're going to learn how to get through tough days when everybody has a tough day, whether it's at work or whatever's going on in our lives. Everybody has a tough day. How do we get through those days? We're going to talk about a better understanding of God's love, because sometimes, even though God does love us, we don't necessarily always feel like God loves us. And in this letter to the Philippians, we're going to learn how God wants to have, he desires, he craves to have a relationship with us. And we're going to learn about that as well. Let's begin this journey through Philippians, kind of painting a picture about where this all took place. Imagine a city. This is a big city. It's a consumer city driven by hotels and tourists and people passing through. It's on the sea, so there's a lot of commerce that goes in and out. But unlike, and it's a tourist area, but unlike Florida and the highs and lows of tourist season, this place is constantly busy. It's a mecca for retired military people. A lot of the people who have retired from military, and yes, they did that then, would move to this seacoast town to live. So there's a lot of older people that lived in this area as well. As big, exciting city, as big as it was, there was really no church there. It's interesting, there was a little tiny home called the House of Prayer and very few people involved in it. And then there was a guy named Paul. And at one time, Paul was persecuting Christians. And some of you may be more familiar with his story, that he was on the road to Damascus and had a God encounter and was blinded and healed. And in the process, God got his message across to Paul. It's time to start working with me rather than against me. And so Paul became a believer, and he began preaching the gospel and sharing the good news wherever he went, and he did this. And it was 52 A.D., Paul arrived in this little town of Philippi with three other guys. Let me tell you about the three guys. One was Timothy. Now, he was a young guy, but he went on to write two books of the New Testament. So he was pretty sharp. And then there was another guy, Silas. He was a missionary. He had been with Paul on many of his travels, so he was a seasoned preacher. And the last was Luke. Luke was a doctor and also wrote two of the epistles in the New Testament. So Paul comes to town with basically a preaching dream team. These are guys who know what they're doing. They've been there in ministry. They've been on this field. They've been sharing the good news all over the world. And they come to this little town. And as they come to this town, things begin to happen. First, there's a woman who's a seller of purple named Lydia, and she becomes a believer. And then shortly after that, there's a Philippian jailer and his entire family. And then they excised a demon from a girl, and she became a believer. And so things were really popping with this group. And before long, they had the nucleus of a really healthy church that Paul was working with, and he began working with. They stayed there for a while and worked with them, this team, and eventually they moved on to continue sharing the gospel and left behind this little healthy church that was growing seemingly daily. Before long, these people began to have some issues. They had heard about Paul being arrested in Rome, and he's a long way from friends. He's a long way from family. And this little church back in Philippi had heard about this situation and began praying for him. And so this church was so moved that Paul had began their group of believers that they decided to take up an offering, and they sent a financial gift and some supplies, and then they sent someone along from their church to help take care of Paul and his needs. A young guy was named Epaphroditus. You're not going to name your children Epaphroditus, I can guarantee, okay? That's an easy one. But Epaphroditus traveled from where they were in Philippi to Rome. That's 700 miles. And you know, some of that was by boat, some of it was by walking. That's here to Norfolk, Virginia. Long way. We're not talking about hopping in your little SUV and driving up. This is a long journey he took, carrying supplies and monies to help Paul. This was a big effort. This was a big ask and a big give in this particular case. And whenever he got there, Paul originally wanted to talk. Well, how's the church doing? I can tell you from firsthand, when you help plant a church, there's a special part of you that always stays with that church. And I can tell you that for right here at Ocala Christian Church. There'll always be a part of our hearts right here, because this is the people we began with, 12 people, and God blessed, and God led, and here we are today. And so Paul had a real heart for these people, and he began asking how they're doing. And Epaphroditus started saying how there were some problems, and some people weren't getting along, some people had lost their jobs, some people had even gone to prison for their faith, and some had wondered if they'd traded up or they'd traded down to become a Christian. I just wonder if you've ever been in that spot, ever had that feeling. Some of you have been here at OCC for a while. Maybe we've lost our new car smell. You know that smell you get? I think you don't pay that much for the car, but the real car smell is real expensive. And you get that for a while. Maybe OCC has sort of lost its new car smell from when you first walked in the door. Or maybe some of you here are kind of on the outside looking in. You're looking for a church, or you're visiting with us, and you're kind of looking in and kind of watching and seeing how things are going. Others here this morning are asking the question, am I trading up or am I trading down in life? What am I doing? So when Paul heard this, what was going on in Philippi, he sat down and he wrote a letter to this church. We know it is the letter called the Philippians. He's going to be doing some opening remarks, and he begins this way. I thank my God every time I remember you. That's somebody who has a love for people. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of my partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's got a connection with these people. Being confident of this, that he, here's our key verse, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What I want to point out to you, tucked away in this verse, this last section that we looked at, is kind of answering the questions that we've asked. Am I trading up? Am I trading down? Where is God? What am I doing with my life? And Paul lived this really simple life, teaching this really simple truth in a profound way about our life and our relationship. It really kind of breaks into two parts. And the first part is this: he who began a good work in you. What exactly does that mean? He. Well, that's God. God who began a good work in you. This verse kind of tells us how to live, who to live for. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Those who are followers in Christ live for an audience of one. The praise team up here, they're not leading worship for you. They're not here to praise you. They're not here to get praise. You, as you sit there, you're not here to get praised. You're not. We all of us share together that we live for an audience of one. That's God. That's who we live our life for. And the first lesson from our text is this: it's not about me at all. That's a shocker to some people. You see, I didn't create myself. I didn't create the world. I didn't come up with a way to be saved. I didn't die for anybody. It's not about me at all. It's all about God. He's the one to be praised. He's the one to be glorified. And it's God who deserves it all. He deserves everything. And he wants to have a relationship with us. It's all about him. Not me. Not me doing things, but God. It's about him and how we learn from God and how we learn all the time. It doesn't matter if we've had totally messed up lives. It doesn't matter if we've come from a difficult background. We've come from a place where we didn't even believe. No matter where our background is, God says, you can come just like you are, and I will accept you. I will love you. He reached us first. He cares. He loves first. It doesn't matter what we've done in our lives. Fact is, he loves us. You can take him right now. It also means that not only is life, not all my life's not about me, it also means it's not just me in this life. You know, this world kind of has us that we all do everything for ourselves. We're selfish. And you know, people drive that way, if you haven't noticed. People don't let anybody out. People cut people off. They don't use turn. You know, I think our driving skills in Florida are representative of how we are so self-centered. We really don't care about anybody else. And that's how life is going right now. A lot of people don't care about anybody else. God's called us to be together, to do life together. And here at Ocala Christian Church, we talk about how we believe that we're not perfect. We believe we're the perfect church for imperfect people, because we realize that we've all messed up our lives. We all have the same problem called sin, and we all need the same cure. That's Jesus. Our next text says to us, "He who began a good work in you," you must understand, God began this work a long time ago in Calvary. He invites us to be part of this. Here's the second part. He will carry it on to completion. Now, it's one thing for us to understand God wants to do this great thing, but to understand that God wants to complete it in us. This brings us to our third point. God will complete the job. He'll complete the job. My late father was a numismatist, a coin collector. How many of you are coin collectors? See your hands. Look at that, like one, two people. I could tell you, 20 years ago, there would have been hands everywhere. Everybody coin, a lot of people collected coins. And my dad was a coin collector. I had been all of his life, collected all, had a huge coin collection. When he passed away, I found a couple books of state quarters that he had started filling. And I thought it would be a nice thing maybe to go ahead and fill those state quarter books. You know, every state in the union, they have a quarter. And then you'll have 1 minute in Denver and 1 minute in Philadelphia. So that's 100 quarters for every, to get a whole complete set. And I had a few books that he had started with. So I thought, oh, I'll do this. So I started getting rolls of quarters. And I got more rolls of quarters. And I got more rolls of quarters. And what I find out is that I had this whole bunch of rolls of quarters, and I only had about a half a dozen states to fill in this thing. I couldn't find any of the states they wanted. I could only find the first five or six that were needed, and that was about it. And I kept going. It was frustrating going through the books and going through the books and going through the books. And finally it struck me one day. My dad was the coin collector, not me. So you know what I did? I got all those quarters and took them in and cashed them in and bought something I probably didn't need. That's what I did. You see, I failed. I didn't collect the coins. I didn't finish the books. I didn't finish what I started. And I planned on it, but I didn't finish it. And I bet everyone in this room has their own coin collecting story. Something you started, but you didn't finish. It may be a car on blocks in the backyard. It may be a hobby you started, and now you've got a whole room full of collecting hobby stuff, and now it's just overflowing into the house. You may have decided you were going to remodel something, a room, and the room is half done and has been for a couple years. We've all got our coin collecting story like that. And some of us even experienced that in our own lives of being short-ended in a commitment. Maybe a spouse bailed on you. Parents, maybe, that were too busy with their own lives that kids ended up feeling neglected. A grown child that has turned their back on the faith that you lived and taught them as they grew up. A friend who was close but let you down. As a result, you may begin to think, maybe God is that way as well. Friends, God began this work in you. It began 2,000 years ago. It also began the day your heart began beating. And friends, it began beating well before the world is saying it. From the moment that you were conceived, you were a life in the womb. Make no mistake there. And God had that plan even while you were in your mother's womb. God had a plan for you. And when you were going through elementary school and things went tough and you went through middle school and high school and whatever the plan, God had a plan for you and God was looking out for you. And God has always had a plan. And part of that plan is he would always finish it with you. He would always finish it with you, not for you, not without you, but with you. God isn't going to stop halfway. He's not going to say, I'm tired. He's not going to cash us in like I did all those quarters. God is faithful, and he's interested in you, and he will complete the task. But he wants you not only to finish, but finish well. Listen again to what Paul says. He says this in 1st chapter Philippians. He says this, he said, listen to how he says this again. Listen just carefully. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. See, he wants you to finish, but finish well. so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. All this could be describing your life once you decide to do life God's way. And when you figure out doing God's way is so much better than trying to do it our way, because that hasn't been working out. James says this: submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. You realize God made the first move 2,000 years ago. Now it's time for you to make the move. See, God made the first step. He's waiting for us to make the next step. God will complete everything he had promised in your life. He will carry it on to completion. Well, the people in the church in Philippi caught on to this. They sent Paul those supplies, sent him Epaphroditus, and they began to grow themselves. And Paul wrote letters to this church trying to help them and encourage them. He wrote back and thanked them for the gifts and gave them some insight into some areas. And you realize that because of that gift, it helped Paul get through that difficult time. Paul went on to write nearly one-third of the New Testament. I have no doubt in my mind that gift, those gifts and materials and even the help of Epaphroditus aided in that happening. Can you imagine what God can do when you listen to God's plan? Let me give you an example. In 1997, Typhoon Linda, I didn't know there was a Typhoon Linda. I thought I just married one. Typhoon Linda hit Vietnam and destroyed homes, towns, and even entire villages. There was a small church in that little Vietnam area, had a tiny village, and there was one little church that was there, and about 50 people made their way, some walking many miles to get to this church. Well, some people in America, an organization called World Serve, got a God idea, and they decided to send some help. And so they put together $1,000 and sent it to this little church in Vietnam with this note: please take care of yourselves and do whatever you can do for God with this money. 6 months later, they contacted the little church to check on them, and they first of all thanked them for sending the gift, and they wanted to give an update. And he said, first, we took $100 and met all the needs of all the people in our village. Then we had $900 left, so we started meeting needs of people in other villages. And in 6 months, that little church of 50 had grown to 1,000 people. That church checked back 2.5 years later and said that little church had grown from 1,000 people to 20,000 people. That's the kind of thing that happens when you listen to God and he carries it on to completion. You know, that might be new to some of you this morning. Maybe it's a brand new concept, the thought that it's not about you, had never dawned on you before, because in this world, in this culture, everything is about us. Everything is consumer-driven. Everything is focused on us and how special we are and how our needs need to be met, and everything is about us. But God said, that's not true. It's not all about you. It's not. Some of you here this morning perhaps may be looking at how to live a different life because life hasn't been going so well the way it's been lived. Let me just say, you don't have all the answers yet. You may have a ton of questions. But God calls you this morning just as you are. When you need to get cleaned up, you don't go take a shower first before you go take a bath. You don't need to go clean up your life and say, well, I really wanted to give my life to Jesus, but I still have this issue. I have some things in my life, and I still sin. Watch carefully. Is there anybody here in this room who sins? Yeah. See, join the club. We have all failed. We all have failed. God in his grace has leaned out to us and said, I will take you the way you are because I love you. Just the way you are. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think it's time this morning for you to begin to live life loud through Jesus. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us Jesus. Lord, our life is comes to a dead end. We make some U-turns, and sometimes, Father, our life just seems to be going nowhere. sometimes our past begins to catch up to us, and we're living now the results of a life we've lived for ourselves. But Father, your love for us is so great that you love us even in spite of our failings, that you gave your Son for us, and you loved us first. And this morning, we are so thankful that we have Jesus to turn to. I pray for the souls in this room, Father, for their lives as they look to you and want to turn their life to you. And Father, some who did that many, many years ago and who are walking by your side daily, and we pray for them as well as they begin to understand how this life is such a blessing and to live this life for you. Others who are just getting to know who you are, Father, we pray for them and lift them up to you, that Lord, you would speak to their hearts and show them your great love. And Father, some of us, Father, who we right now know, we've made mistakes. We're not proud of some of the things we've done in life. But Father, you promised to forgive us and to love us and to get us back on your path. We pray this morning that our hearts are open and ready to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.